So we're looking at part six of our Invite series, and a couple of weeks ago, I mean, I just love the way the worship went this morning and the words that Michael brought, just understanding where we are and where we're going, where God has got us, and what the road that God has got us on. And a couple of weeks ago, I preached on invite because people are spiritually blind, invite because Jesus is our model. Invite because of the Great Commission. Invite because the laborers are few. Invite because of the... what did I miss? Great Commission, laborers are few. Harvest is plentiful. And during the week, I was thinking, reading of the passage in John about the woman at the well. And so this morning, I want to preach on the power behind your invite. The power behind your invite. Just think about the woman at the well. As I said the other night, on Wednesday night, we were talking a little bit about it. Jesus meets this woman at the well who's a serial husband collector. She already had four and she was now living with the fifth guy. So Jesus told her. But when he gets there, he says to her, and I mean, at any normal watering hole today, it would be a great pickup line, eh? Give me a drink. Or would you buy me a drink? She didn't understand what he was on about. And she said, but sir, you don't have a bucket. You don't have something to put the water in. She did not know the power behind the invite that Jesus was giving to her, because he not only led her into eternal life, but a whole Samaritan village got saved because of her witness. And when they came back, they said, won't you spend a couple of days with us? And Jesus said, yeah. And then they said, thank you for your witness. We don't need to hear it anymore because we have the real thing. And that's much with our lives. We don't need much more after that. Once the invite has been thrown out, and if you read the little splurb or blurb, whatever I put in the bulletin this week, go and read it. You'll see, hopefully it takes the pressure off and you think, oh, I'm so pressurized to invite. No, all you're doing is, I think Michael said it so wonderfully this morning, all you're doing is being obedient. So here's another thought just to lay down before we go on. What would happen, I'm not talking about us together, I'm talking about you individually now, including me individually. What would happen if we fully believe that we have been sent? Just think about that. What would happen if we believed completely, with every fiber of our being, that we've been called of Jesus Christ and sent of Jesus Christ? Because you know you have. And I said a little while ago, I'm not going to commission anybody. We've already been commissioned. No one needs to lay hands on you. You've already been sent. Jesus said, go. Well, I'm not sure. No, be sure. I'm telling you, be sure. If you don't believe me, believe God's word. Father, I pray this morning. Thank you for the anointing upon me as I preach these words, Lord. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Scriptures. Thank you for the word that you've given to preach this morning, Lord. Let us not be in any confusion about it. I'll tell you what would happen. The thing that we always ask for, revival, will take place. We would empty the hospitals. We would empty the drug rehabilitation centers. We would empty the psychiatric wards. We would empty the pubs. Oh, no, we don't want to do that. No, we do. Okay. Anybody agree with me? You all so silent this morning. This is not new. I know you're all sitting there, oh, is he going to make us do something? No, I'm not going to make you do anything. I want you to listen to the Word of God and do what the Word of God tells you to do. Can you do that? Turn with me in your Bibles to Book of Acts, please. Acts chapter 8. So that we looked at the becauses, and then last week Kevin did an amazing job teaching us that we have been called to be ambassadors of reconciliation. And I, again, you know, sometimes I just see in pictures and I think in pictures and I see stuff in pictures. And I saw this whole, this big wall, this great wall. And just a little door, narrow door. And we were stationed at the door. You were stationed at the door. And there was this big, big picker thing problem coming, which was going to devastate and kill people. And you said, but you knew that if they went through this door, they'd be saved. What would you be doing? Is that what you would be doing? Or would you be going, hey, over here, quickly, quickly, get in here, go through this door, you'll be saved. That's what we should be doing. Because we don't, you know, no one wants to talk about it. They want the nice stuff and Jesus is good and God is good and being a Christian is wonderful and all that kind of stuff. But if you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will go to hell. Don't say that, Mark. We don't want to believe that. We don't want to deal with that issue. Because then I might have to get up off my blessed assurance and go and do something. Man, I'm just preaching out the Bible. These are not my ideas. I'm not smart enough to have creative ideas like this. They come from the Bible. So today we're going to look and we're going to do a whole practical application of what we've been talking about. And stuff that we, I don't know anything. Well, today you will know something. I'm going to use a lot of scripture. And so I've put it up in the slides. So if you have a pen and paper and you want to take them down, then go home and check out the scriptures. Don't check me out. Because I'm just giving you scriptures. Well, you said, no, the Bible said. You said we have to. No, I didn't. The Bible said. That's why we love to believe in the Bible plus nothing, the Bible minus nothing. And we believe in the Genesis to Revelation, a full Bible theology. And we preach from the Bible. Okay, so let's go to Acts chapter 8. You should all be there by now. So Philip, one of the appointed in the church in Jerusalem there, Antioch, and they say, now verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. Yay, great exciting. My first mission trip, my first apostolic adventure, I'm going to a desert. Can you imagine, Philip? What? It's a desert. What happens in the desert? The power beyond your invite. And he rose and went, because he was obedient. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, and was returning seated in his chariot, and was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. How fast do you know a chariot goes? Philip, go over and join the chariot. As we would say in Zulu, balega. You run quickly, go fast. He went over and he joined it. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the Isaiah, the prophet, and asked. Invite because they are spiritually blind. They do not know what you know. That's not an arrogant thing. We need to treat that humbly. Do you understand what you are reading? And the cry of this Ethiopian was, he said, how can I, unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. How can I, unless someone guides me? And I will tell you, that is the cry of your oikos, those people around you who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. How can I, unless someone explains it to me? And we go along our merry way and think, well, I'll just go off to glory and into heaven and I'll have a happy time. And the cry of their heart, and it might not even be spoken, is saying, how can I unless someone guides me? It breaks my heart to think that there are people on my street, how can I unless someone guides me? I am more convinced of this series than ever before. And I trust by the time we are finished, you will be too. And part of the invite, of course, is that we, as I said before, I know we're inviting people to come to the bridge because this is who we are, but we are more so inviting people to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not to come to a church, not to come to a gathering. That is all good, and this is where we are, and this is where the place that the Lord has called us. And I said it again, we don't go around shopping for churches. You go where God has called you to be. And when you get there and you know, this is the place the Lord has told me to be, you get involved. And you get your hands dirty and you get your hands in the mud. And you work in kids' church. Anybody else want to punt their ministry quickly? Kitchen, there we go. You work in the kitchen. Men's breakfast, ladies' breakfast, let's just do it. The whole youth. Prayer meetings, Wednesday night. Sound booth, musicians. Oh, you've got such a plethora. Yeah, well, we need more. Wow. Add your gift. Okay, now you're making me lose my point. I'm getting to, because now they're going to say, hey, you just want my money. No. God has no need of your money, but He does. No, let's not talk about that stuff. Matthew 20, let's come. Matthew 28, I'm running out of time quickly. Go therefore, as you go along, as I've said so many times, and make disciples of some of the nations, baptizing some of them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching some of them to observe some of the stuff that I've commanded you, and behold, I'll be with you sometimes, to the end of the age. No. Okay. All right. So we are convinced. All of the time, all of the nations, all that I've taught you, observe all that I have commanded you. Well, there we go. That's an imperative. All that I have commanded you. It's important for us this morning. And I am with you always. Just think of this. Whenever you go to invite someone, to talk to someone about the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm not alone. I have three people with me. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They are all with me. And they are putting the words in my mouth, helping me to speak, helping me to say stuff. Okay, Mark. It's important to read the scripture because otherwise I can just quote it and then mess it. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world, proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized. I've said this so many times, I'm going to say it again. If you are a believer and you've never been baptized, you're walking in rebellion to the Word of God. I don't know how nicer to say it. So next week, we're having our Feast of Nations. We'll do baptisms. So don't be shy, come up here, I'm rebellious. No, come on man, get baptized. Because it's the Word of God. You want to be obedient? Let's just start there. Basics. Number 101. Christianity 101. Who believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. There we go. Luke chapter 24. This is just the beginning, people, so we're going to get excited about Scripture today. Verse 45. Then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. Why? Because they are blind. They don't understand the Scriptures. We cannot just go out and I've said it before, say all the silly Christianese that we talk. I know that every industry has their own. Doesn't matter what you are, where you were, how you are. I mean, I know I was in shipping for 20 years. We had our own thing. We spoke about FCLs and LCLs and the way bills and all that kind of stuff and prepaid. And what are you on about? No, I understood because I needed to. In your industry, wherever you were, you have a speech. And unfortunately, in the Christian kingdom, we have a speech. And we freak the people out because we're going, hey, Sunday was so cool. We got slain in the Spirit and the Holy Spirit manifested Himself. So, dude, I don't know what church you go to. I ain't going to that place. We've got to be wise. Because when you're telling me that, I know you're all excited about the kingdom. You're all about excited about being touched by the Holy Spirit. And you're all excited about going out and meeting people. But the people you're out there meeting are going, yeah, you're weird. Just work with me to understand. And he said to him, that it is written that Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. Remember when Jesus prophesied and said, on the third days, I will break down this temple and I will rise in 3 days. And they said, oh, it took 38 years to build that temple. What are you talking about? They did not understand. I'm so glad Scripture backs itself up. And that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in His name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. You know where we're going next, right? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power, dunamis, when the power and the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses, or in other words in Greek, you will be my martyrs. Martos. You will get persecuted. You could even die. We don't know what that means in Canada. Because everyone's so nice. They don't kill you because of your faith. They might bang the door in your face, and that's about as much as most of us can take. You will be my martyrs in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That is life, as Kevin said this morning. That is go to the desert, because I have a plan for you, Philip, in the desert. Because when you get to the desert, you're going to meet a eunuch. You're going to explain the scripture to him. You're going to take him off, and a little pool of dirty water in the middle of the desert, you're going to baptize him, and he's going to take the gospel to Africa. That's where Ethiopia is, right? The first convertee to take the gospel to Africa. The power beyond your invite. You have no idea the next person you invite, what that is going to mean to them. And I'm going to tell you what it's going to mean and all the kind of stuff we're going to look at now. But the power beyond your invite, you have no idea. You think I'm just handing out this nice little card. Come to the bridge. We're a lovely bunch of people. The pastor speaks with a funny accent. He's a really nice guy. His wife's the best one there. The other elders are also good. They have nice coffee. They get a little bit noisy and excited in worship, but come. That might be the next person who we're going to plant out of here to plant a church into somewhere or other. When I first came to Canada, I was sitting in Yorkdale Mall. And because I'd been in the shipping industry, I'd had the privilege of traveling a little bit all over the world. And I sat, and as I sat there, I didn't realize that Canada, or Toronto, is the most cosmopolitan city in the world. I don't know if any of you all knew that, but anyway, it was. As I was sitting there drinking coffee, while you know what Bridget did, I sat and drank coffee, and I just listened, and I watched all these nationalities going past, and I heard them speaking, and I said, those are Greeks, those are Italians, those are Portuguese, those are from India, those are from here, those are Chinese, Koreans, Japanese. Well, I just sat there, this little boy from Durban. And the Lord dropped it into my heart, and He said, wouldn't it be cool, as God talks like that, wouldn't it be cool to get people like that saved and send them back to their own countries to plant churches in their own nation? Well, we think we all just came here because we got a nice building. Acts 27:16, 26:17. He has placed you, go and read it. He has placed you in a certain place. He placed you here. No, I just arrived by osmosis. Sorry for you, you didn't. Okay, one more scripture for now, anyway. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Say that with me. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Say it louder. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. And now you've help this poor boy. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And the point of that is, okay, well, just stop to the Jews and the Greeks. No, the point is Jews and Gentiles, and that means all of us. It is a power. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed to invite. I'm not ashamed to say, do you understand what you were reading? No, how will I know if someone doesn't guide me? Come, let me guide you. I know where the little narrow door is. I know what's coming if you come through this little door. Well, Mark, you're wrong, because a loving God wouldn't send someone to hell. No. God provided the door. He provided the person to stand at the door, Jesus Christ, and point the way. And He said, I am the door. I am the way to the Father. But in our heart, in our rebellion, we say, no, a loving God will never do that. No, He's loving and He's just. He is the judge of all. Because alternatively, then the judges should just let people, you ran over that person. No, it's okay. I'm a good guy. You go free. No. Whew. This is nothing what I wanted to preach about. Paul makes reference to the gospel. He was not ashamed of it. We are not to be ashamed, because when we say I'm ashamed of the gospel, we say I'm ashamed of Jesus Christ. Because it's not about you. It's not how smart you are. It's not how clever you are. It's not how many scriptures you know. I want to be crazy berserk in worship. Huh? Yeah, I know. Those are nice words. Forget about everybody about you. Lose yourself in worship. You're here to worship the King. Practice in your bedroom. Boom, crank up the volume. Boom, boom, boom. Whatever that floats your boat. Come on. It's the power unto salvation. Jesus, Jesus refers to the gospel. What is the gospel? It's the good news. Good, good, good news. And I heard from heaven now. Ain't that good news? There's a song there somewhere. That is God to power to save mankind. The little door, narrow is the way. Here, come through this way. You know, you'd be like the dudes in the pizza on the corner here, and they stand with the board going, shh, shh. Man, I don't know who's under there, how old they are, what they are. They got energy. In the middle of summer. They got their whole little discotheque going on inside their heads, I'm sure. I know they've probably got their headphones on to keep them going. And man, that's where we got to be. We've got to go, good news, this way, come this way. And I'm building up a sweat here, but that's okay. It involves the proclamation of God, the grace that He has given us. It requires a response in involving us. Two scriptures you won't like to hear, but they are scripture. 1 Peter 4:17. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, the church, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? God will just let them in. No. Now our job is to make sure. I think I remember Spurgeon said, even if I have to put my arms around their knees and they'll step over me as we cry out to God for them, they will not go to hell unprayed for and unwarned. And I'm telling you, prayer works. Not in your time frame, in God's time frame. And dependent on those that you're praying for. My mother prayed for me for 20 years. Let that sink in for a while. I prayed 3 times and they didn't get saved. I read, what's his name's biography? Oral Roberts' biography. He prayed for 1,000 people before the first person got healed. What? 1,000. Not healed. I've been here, I prayed 3 times and they didn't get healed. God just doesn't listen. No. He probably had something more important that he wanted to deal with in Oral Roberts than he did. And then, of course, you know the story, he just sat in the chair, and as they walked past, healed. You want to walk in the kingdom of God? You've got to be faithful in the kingdom of God. God is not interested in using people who are going to use it for themselves. And how glorious this is and how amazing I am. This is not part of the, oh no, I'm losing myself. Let me just stay where I am. 2 Thessalonians 1:7. And to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What? That's in the Bible? Yeah, no, I didn't make it up. It's very there. So there's some things I want to look at us. I forgot to turn all that. Okay, there's all the scriptures. Which we just preached on. Okay. Three things, practical things for us to remember. There are truths to believe. There are commands to obey. Nobody tells me what to do. Yep. And promises to receive. Truths to believe. Number one, Christ died for our sins. Christ died. You need to know that. And understand this, like when someone comes to me and they want to talk or debate or chat. And, you know, I don't believe the scripture of God. Well, then I can't help you. I can't even start to talk to you. We have to understand that it is the inerrant word of God. It is truth. It is life. And I've got a whole bunch of scriptures there. Christ died for our sins. Is the fundamental to the gospel of which Paul preached. And he came in 1 Corinthians, 15. He says, of first importance, I want to preach to you the gospel that Jesus died and he rose again. Death for Jesus was an amazing thing. And he was the lamb that came, the final. He was the last Adam, not the second Adam. He was the last Adam that came. He paid for our sins. We'll talk about it. We've spoken about it many times. He was the propitiation for our sins, which means the wrath of God has been appeased against us, which means God is not angry with you. Well, I'm glad two of you like that. Yeah. It was foretold in the Old Testament. Sherry, Isaiah 53 verses 4 and 6. She read it out this morning. Why did Jesus have to die for our sins? Because we have all sinned. Every single one of us sitting here is not or was not without sin. Are you talking about me? Yeah, I am. Because the wages of sin is death, it tells us in Romans 6:23. In love, God sent His Son, 1 John 4:9 and 10, to be the propitiation. Big word. Deep theology. Get it into our hearts and understand that when you mess up, God doesn't become angry with you. He is the perfect Father. He is the perfect Judge. He is the perfect Advocate for us. Secondly, Christ was raised from the dead. Absolutely. Go, have a look. The tomb is there. We've seen it last year. We saw the tomb last year. It's empty. It's not. No one is there. And they rolled the stone was rolled away. And you know why the stone was rolled away? So Jesus could get out? No. So we could see in. We could testify that He is not there. Where are we? Seen by many eyewitnesses, 1 Corinthians 15:5-8. Peter proclaimed it in his first gospel sermon in Acts chapter 2. He died, he was risen again, third day, just like he prophesied and said he would. Whew, it's hot in here. Christ is exalted as King and Savior. He is both Lord and Christ. You know the whole thing? He can't be Lord of some and not Lord of all, otherwise He's not Lord of all, and how that whole expression goes. He is head over all things, Ephesians 1 tells us. Not some things. He is in all things. He is Lord of all things. He is my Lord and Savior. He not only saved me, but I'm humbled to Him as the King, as the Captain of the host. All authority and power now are subject to Him. All. Not some. Well, our government says we have to do this and this and that. When it stands against in the face of God, we do not have to do it. That's sedition, Mark. No, that's Bible. God made Jesus ruler and king of the earth. Revelation 1:5. Christ is returning. As promised when He ascended into heaven, Acts 1:9-11. Coming to offer rest and tribulation. If you don't know this as a Christian, you're not going to get judged for your sins. Because your sins have already been judged on the cross. We're going to be judged for rewards. What did you do with my son Jesus? What did you do with the gifts and the talents that I gave you? What did you do when I said to you, invite that person across the street, and you went, oh, I don't really want to do that. You know, I told you the story about Greg when he was in the army and he was hitching, Greg Haswell, he was hitching. Do you remember the story? He got in the car and they said, and he was saved, and he said to tell them about me, and he said, you've got to be joking. They might stop the car and put me out. And the Lord said, second time, He said, tell them about me. Greg said, not today, Lord. Third time, He said, Greg, tell them about me. He said, not to. Car died. The lady turned and said to her husband, we have a Jonah in the car. Young man, will you please get out? He got out the car. Car started and they left him on the side of the road. Vowed and declared he would never miss an opportunity in Jesus again. God's not about punishing us. Please don't hear, well, He punished Greg. No, He didn't. We just need to learn to be obedient. Christ is returning. He's coming for rest and tribulation. Rest to those who respond and live according to the gospel. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. There we go. It's in there. To those who obey not the gospel, tribulation is coming. They will be judged for their sins. Depart from me, I know you not. Into the lake of fire. If I don't preach this stuff, you'll go away thinking, well, it's all good on the left side. But it's not. You need to come through the little door and get as many in there with you. Second thing, we have commands to obey. First commands, believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must believe the gospel or we are lost. The gospel is God's power unto salvation. The good news is for salvation for every one of us. For all mankind. From every nation and tongue. And that's why we have it in Revelation. You see when they praised Him day and night. Spoke last week a little bit about repetitive singing. They praised Him day and night singing. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. Let's just repeat that. 24 hours, day and night. Oh, this is getting boring. Not when you see the King high and lifted up. Not when His train fills this temple and this little building of ours. Well, His presence wasn't here today. That is a lie from the devil which you subscribe to. Because wherever you are, His presence is. Just a fact or truth to believe. Confess your faith in Jesus. We confess our faith. Confessing with our mouth, not quietly so no one can hear us. Confess it with your mouth. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. I love Jesus. I'm excited about Jesus. Well, you the pastor, you're supposed to say that stuff. No, I was a very, very, very shy person when Jesus found me. I didn't find Jesus, He found me. I was a very shy person. Bridget will tell you, we'd go out and she'd talk to everybody, because that's her gift. And I would talk to nobody and go home and she'd say, so how did you enjoy it? I said, it was great. Who'd you talk to? Nobody. What did you do? And I just stood there. Did anyone talk to you? No. And you had a great time? Yeah. Shame. And now she loves to tell you, you can't keep me quiet now. Why? Because I know where the door is. I want people to come through the door. I want all of you, when we get to the other side, yeah, it's the bridge. They're all here. Thank you, Lord. Because you know, I take what I do seriously. Whether you want to accept it or not, I'm called here to shepherd you. I'm here to give an account of your life. I'm here to lead you into the government of God. Me and the team, elders and their wives. Oh, where did we get? Confess your faith. The Ethiopian proved it, Acts 8:37. Jesus says, I will confess you before my Father if you confess me before men. When last did you confess Jesus before men? It's not a give and take thing. We're in the grace of God. We're in the new covenant. We understand all that stuff. Doesn't mean we get to absolve ourselves from that kind of stuff, though. Repent of your sins. Did I do that one? Repent of your sins. Jesus wants repentance preached in his name. Inviting's enough. Do I really actually have to say something else? How will they know unless you guide them? How will they know unless you tell them? Gee, that's a pretty card. Who did the artwork? Oh, there's a lady in our church who does it. Well, nice logo. Whoop, file 13. Let me tell you about the bridge. Let me tell you about the greatest bridge builder. His name is Jesus. He built a bridge between heaven and earth. There you go. There's your start. There's your pickup line. Give me a drink. You don't have a bucket. Let me tell you, I am the living water that I will give you today. I know where the living water, I know where the well is. If you go through this little door, I'm going to show you there's a well just on the other side. I just haven't got time. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. He expects us to be baptized in response to the gospel. The Ethiopian, the eunuch, said, well, what do we do now? He said, we should get baptized. There's a little mud of water. They're in the desert. The water wasn't crystal clean and nice. And what was the temperature? Ooh, check with my toe what the temperature is. No, there's a pool of dirty water in the desert. Yeah, come on, let's just get you. What's that, a lizard? Blue. Come on, man, just work with me. Slime, you know? Come on. Be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Peter proclaimed baptism for the remission of sins to those who believe. Acts chapter 11, I think. Lydia and the jailer. What did they do? They opened their hearts, they got saved, and they went and got baptized. The jailer said, let's go down, it's midnight, let's go and get baptized. No, I'm tired, we'll do it in 3 days' time or 2 days' time. No, let's go down, let's do it now. It's midnight, they went down to the lake. If it was winter, it would have been cold. Okay, you get off winter here. So what? Paul related the place of baptism had in his salvation from sin. Acts 22:16. And now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. When we submit to the baptism, it's like the washing of the word. It's the same as being going under the water, dying to ourselves, coming up again to a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's the whole point of saying I'm baptized. It's your outward expression of, look at me, I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. I'm proclaiming this today in the audience of all you people. Okay, let's move on. Be faithful unto death. There's all the scriptures. Promises to receive. The promises you receive are your total forgiveness of your sins. Past, present, and future. How do you get that, Mark? Well, because Jesus died once and for all. Because if it wasn't so, then every time we sin, Jesus would have to die again. Do you know that your sins were forgiven 2,000 years ago? It's only when you said, I do, that you appropriated that and took that upon. Your sins were already forgiven. It was, when he died on the cross, he became sin. He can't become sin again and again and again every time we mess up. He can't become sin when you say, okay. He's made it okay. That should be good news for us. Our sins are blotted out, washed away by the baptism. Under the water, all the dust that the eunuch had on him, the Ethiopian eunuch, all the dust that was on him, washed away like his sins. What can't God do? He's God, he can do everything. No, he cannot remember your sins. They to him, they are as far as the east is to the west. That's when the accuser comes and says, you know what Ellie did this weekend? She says, what? She says, well, she didn't feed Milo. Say, dog. Oh, it's terrible. Hey, he's starving. She's treating him badly. And Jesus says, Dad, forgiven. Oh, okay. Under the blood. Just again, just to help you. We don't have to pray for the blood to cover us. Yeah. We've already been covered by the blood. Oh Lord, protect me, cover me by the blood. 2,000 years ago, covered by the blood. When we accepted him as our Lord and Savior, we took on that. We are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not like you get to wash it off and then comes back on again. It's like when we pray, I bind the devil. You cannot bind the devil, number one. Let me just tell you, this is old Christian nonsense. Because I want to know, if you can, who was the fool who unbound him during the week? Because we get to, we bind Satan and we put him in the corner. And we come back next week and pray to again and again. I'm like, didn't we do that last week? You know, sometimes we just have to think a little bit about this stuff. Yeah. Where'd you learn? I don't know. The other people prayed it in the prayer meeting I went to. So it sounded spiritual. So I prayed. James 4:7. Therefore, submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Unto God. Not in your strength. Not in my strength. That was for free. That's not in my notes. Last one. The gift of grace. Holy Spirit, gift of the Holy Spirit. I just don't have time, people. Promises to receive. Did I start there? Total forgiveness. The gift of the Holy Spirit. We've been promised the Holy Spirit. Internally, he indwells us. He enables us. He puts to death the flesh in us. Romans chapter 8, verses 12 to 13. The Spirit of God gives us strength to continue, not to live in the flesh, but to continue living in the Spirit. Spirit will produce fruit in our life. Galatians 5:22. Not just one of them. They're a package deal. Love, kindness, patience. Da 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 da. The gift of eternal life. Our eternal reward and our abundant life now. Heaven. Not something pie in the sky. It's steak on our plate while we wait to go up there. And I'm rushing now. The gift of grace. It's a free gift from God. It's not of ourselves, but what Jesus has done for us. Grace is not a license to sin. Well, we're not under law, we're under grace, I can just do what I like. No. Foolish Pickering arts, Galatian arts, whatever you want to be art. Grace means we are accepted by God in all our weirdness, in all our uniqueness, in all our strangeness. We're accepted in His family, one body, one spirit, one flesh. Grace challenges us. We rule and reign through Jesus Christ, not of ourselves. Grace teaches us to say no to ungodliness because we know the difference. And we get to say, I'm not doing that, I'm not going there, I'm not behaving like that, I'm not speaking like that. Well, we've got to be like the world. No. The world should want to be like us. But we're so bent on like, no, we like you guys. We're not. We love them into the kingdom. We pray for them. And when you behave like you should, they're going to say, there's something about their person. Maybe we don't know what it is, but there's something about them. I like it. I don't know what it is, but I like it. We are empowered to do great exploits for God. Final slide. The truth to believe contains the message of God's love and grace. The commands to obey are not difficult works done to earn salvation, but simple acts of faith whereby we receive God's grace. The promises to receive helps us deal with the real problem of sin in our lives. If we could understand the truths, if we could understand the commands and just do them, not brainless, but to do the commands. Why? Well, Jesus says so, so that should be good enough. And then the promises to receive. You mean we've got promises? There's promises? Yeah, I just read a whole bunch of them to you. We will have eternal life. We don't live now for ourselves. We are looking to eternity. We live with eternity in our hearts. But we have a mission, a co-mission to do while we are here. And it's not like we get to do this. This is a one-man team sport. This is a very inclusive team sport. We want the whole team to be on the playing pitch in heaven. We want everyone that we know in our family and across the road and that God brings us into connection with. We want to be, when Philip said, he said to Philip, go to the desert. The Holy Spirit, go to the desert. You say, why? What for? What am I going to do there? He just went to the desert. And then a guy on a chariot says, catch up with him. Again, why? What for? A horse runs faster than I do. There's no way I'm going to make it. Excuses, excuses, excuses. He just ran up. Wow, I can do this. I'm like, me and the horse, eh? Yeesh. What are you reading? Do you understand what you're reading? Because he understood. So, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. I'm reading, but it makes no sense to me. I'm reading it, but I don't understand it. I'm reading it, they're just words to me. Let me give you life. Let me give you the water of the Word of God. Let me wash you with the water of the Word of God. Let me invite you into the kingdom. And we don't go on to know what happened, but we have to figure out that he went and probably got fired. Got let go. What's the word, let go? Hey, Candace, Queenie Candace, you will not believe what happened to me. She said, were you looking after my jewels? Yeah, but you know, I just left them for a while on the chariot. Trust, truth to believe, commands to obey, promises to receive. This is the life we have been called to. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord God, we pray that everybody in the hearing of this word today, that it would sow seeds into their hearts, Lord. Father God, that we would go out and be great ambassadors of reconciliation for you, Lord. That you would put the words in our mouths that we would not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we would open our mouths and you would fill it, Holy Spirit, with the right words for the right person at the right time. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.